I've never actually thought about this before. When you're doing a confirmation hearing for the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, okay, is it in front of different committees? Like, will different committees want to do these hearings, and then eventually the whole Senate takes a vote on it, basically?
Good morning, everyone. I entered the Senate the same year that Representative Gabby Giffords was shot. I knew then that the state of political rhetoric was encouraging violence. I think it's imperative now, more than ever, that the leaders in our country disavow violence and lead by example. Through the years, I've personally been exposed multiple times to political violence. I was in the right field batting cage when the crazed shooter unleashed nearly 200 shots at our congressional baseball practice. I'll never forget Steve Scalise valiantly trying to drag his body away as the gunman continued. Later that year, a Trump-hating felon attacked me from behind in my yard. I was just straightening up from picking up a tree limb. I was wearing noise cancellation headphones, never saw him coming, running pell-mell down the hill. I was struck in the back. The force of the blow sent us through the air nearly 10 feet, down the hill until his shoulder impaled me as we hit the ground. Six of my ribs were broken. Three of the ribs were completely separated, such that for weeks, the ends of the ribs would grind upon each other. My lung was damaged.
Ew.
For weeks, I could inhale, but not
Gross,
have
bro.
The rib strength to exhale. I developed two pneumonias. The pain was such that I could only sit up in bed by tying a rope to the foot of the bed and pulling myself up. But even then, the pain was that of 1,000 knives. Over the year of recovery, I began to cough up blood. I underwent removal of part of my lung. Complications led to an infection in the space between my lung and chest wall. I spent a week in the hospital having the infection lavaged every 6 hours through a chest tube. Recently, Senator Mullen, if you have time to listen, you were confronted by constituents that were angry.
Oh, man. Was he looking somewhere else? Ooh.
Between my lung and chest wall. I spent a week in the hospital having the infection lavaged every 6 hours through a chest tube. Recently, Senator Mullen, if you have time to listen, you were confronted by constituents that were angry because you voted against my amendment to stop all funding for refugee welfare programs. Instead of explaining your vote to continue these welfare programs for refugees, you decided to transfer the blame. You told the media that I was a freaking snake and that you completely understood why I had been assaulted.
Damn.
I was shocked that you would justify and celebrate this violent assault that caused me so much pain and my family so much pain. I just wonder if someone who applauds violence against their political opponents is the right person to lead an agency that has struggled to accept limits to the proper use of force. You might argue you were mad and upset about being confronted by your constituents. But Senator Mullen, your constituents are justifiably upset with you. By now, most of America knows that the Somali welfare fraud in Minnesota stole over $9 billion. But instead of defending your vote, you took to continue the vote to continue these refugee welfare programs, you chose to lash out at me. You went on to brag that you'd already told me to my face that you completely understood and approved of the assault. Well, that's a lie. You got a chance today. You can either continue to lie or you can correct the record. You have never had the courage to look me in the eye and tell me that the assault was justified. So today you'll have your chance. Today I'll give you that chance to clear the record. Tell it to my face. If that's what you believe, tell it to me today. Tell the world why you believe I deserve to be assaulted from behind, have six ribs broken and a damaged lung. Tell me to my face why you think I deserved it. And while you're at it, explain to the American public why they should trust a man with anger issues to set the proper example for ICE and Border Patrol agents.
God.
Explain to the American public how a man who has no regrets about brawling in a Senate committee can set a proper example for over 250,000 men and women who work at the Department of Homeland Security. Senator Peters, you're recognized for your opening comments. Senator Mullen, you are recognized for your opening statement.
I think before I can start my opening statement, I have to address the remarks that the chairman made, calling me a liar. Sir, I think there's everybody in this room knows that I'm very blunt and direct to the point, and if I have something to say, I'll say it directly to your face. If you recall, back in my House days, we actually did have this conversation because of remarks that I made. You were in a room. I simply addressed that I said I could understand because of the behavior you were having, that I could understand why the neighbor did what he did. As far as my terms of the snake in the grass, sir, I work around this room to try to fix problems. I've worked with many people in this room. Seems like you fight Republicans more than you work with us.
Oh.
I did address those remarks. I did explain your gimmicks by the amendment you put forth. And as far as me saying that I invoke violence, I don't. I don't think anybody should be hit by surprise. I don't like that. But if I do have something to say, everybody in this room knows I'll come straight to you. I'll say it publicly and I'll say it privately, but I'll never say it behind your back. So for you to say I'm a liar, sir, that's not accurate. And I got proof to say that because you have spent millions of dollars in my campaigns against me.
Ooh.
Because we just don't get along. However, sir, that doesn't keep me at all from doing my job. I can have different opinions with everybody in this room, but as Secretary of Homeland, I'll be protecting everybody, including Kentucky, as much as I will my own backyard in Oklahoma. It's bigger than the partisan bickering that we have. It's bigger than the political differences we have. The truth is, I have a job to do, and I don't like to fail at anything, at all. So I can set it aside, if you're willing to set it aside. Let me earn your respect. Let me earn the job. I won't fail you. I won't back down from a challenge, and I'll also admit when I'm wrong. I'm not perfect. I don't claim to be perfect. I make mistakes just like anybody else. But mistakes, if you own them, you can learn from them, and you can move ahead. And I'll make that commitment to you.
Wow.
We'll now proceed to 7 minutes of questioning. The record should show, and I think will show, a lack of contrition, no apology, and no regrets for your support.
Sorry, okay, I was not paying attention. What? What is this attack from Senator Rand? Was it just a guy at his house that was pissed off at him? Or what did he get attacked for? What? His neighbor attacked? Why? On November 3rd, 2017, Paul was assaulted by a neighbor, Renee Butcher, then aged 59, a retired anesthesiologist. Jesus, Paul, who is deaf in one ear, was wearing noise-canceling headphones while mowing his lawn, reportedly enabling Butcher to tackle Paul without his own approach being noticed. Oh, Renee? That's a male name. Okay, I don't know. Well, I feel like somebody would be able to sneak up on you regardless if you're mowing the lawn. Lawnmowers are pretty fucking loud. But what the fuck is this? I don't know. That was just whatever, randomly. Okay. Butcher was arrested and charged with one count of fourth-degree assault and released on a $7,500 bond. Paul sustained 5 broken ribs, of which 3 were displaced fractures. In August 2019, part of Paul's lung required removal as a result of the injuries he suffered during the attack. Butcher's attorney, Matthew Baker, described it as a very regrettable dispute between two neighbors over a matter that most people regard as trivial. According to a memorandum filed by Baker, the dispute was over Paul repeatedly leaving tree yard debris near his property line with his neighbor. Rand Paul and his wife deny this. They said that the media misrepresented this from the beginning and that the attack is politically motivated. They said that Butcher had threatened Donald Trump earlier and that he was a vocal hater of Trump and the GOP. I totally believe the lawn story. Bro, when you hit like middle class suburban fucking bullshit, lawns are like that's like your king castle domain. People get so cringe. The neighbor behind me, I don't know what you would call him, our yards were connected. This guy was such a fucking tryhard dude. It's like they import like the Kentucky bluegrass and he's like out there mowing his lawn like twice a week. Motherfucker has bags attached to his lawnmower to collect the clipping. Like, give me a fucking break, bro. Get out of here. Okay? Walking through his yard, making sure there's no bald spots or whatever. Oh my God. Get a life, loser. Fuck that shit. Butcher was originally charged in Kentucky state court, but was later charged in federal court, where he ultimately pleaded guilty to assaulting a member of Congress. The state court charge was dismissed after Butcher pleaded guilty to the federal charge. Butcher was initially sentenced to 30 days in prison, 1 year of probation, 100 hours of community service, and a $10,000 fine. What happened with this attack? Like, was it really just one? Is this guy like a linebacker? Like, it was just the most fucking insane tackle ever? Or was it he tackled him and then they fought for a bit? It was down a hill. Oh, apparently. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit vacated Boucher's sentence of 30 days, ruling it was unreasonably short. Are they allowed to do that? Indicating closed review was in order, and the case was sent back to the lower court for sentencing, and appeal to the Supreme Court was denied. At his resentencing, Butcher received a prison term of 8 months. Damn! Prosecutors felt the downward departure from their request for a 21-month sentence was too great, but the judge said Boucher's 8 years in the military, being forced to sell his home to pay a $580,000 judgment assessed by the state court against him in the civil case brought by Paul, and his completed community service militated against any additional prison time. Boucher, damn, Paul fucked him up. Holy shit. God damn. The violent altercation last week that left Senator Rand Paul nursing bruised lungs and broken ribs began over a landscaping dispute between the senator and his longtime next-door neighbor, according to neighbors and 3 Kentucky Republicans familiar with what transpired. The precise provenance of the dispute was still a matter of disagreement on Monday. Mr. Paul had just stepped off a riding lawnmower on Friday when, is it Renee? Is that how you pronounce it? Renee Butcher, a retired anesthesiologist who lived next door, charged and tackled him because Mr. Paul was... This guy is a retired anesthesiologist and he had to sell his home for a $600,000 judgment? This guy's in his 50s or 60s? What the fuck was he doing the whole time? What was he blowing his money on? This is like the highest paid of all the doctor professions. Charged and tackled him because Mr. Paul was wearing sound-muting earmuffs. He did not realize Mr. Butcher was coming, according to one of the Kentucky Republicans and a friend familiar with the altercation. Rand never saw him coming or heard him coming. The damage was severe. 5 broken ribs and bruises on his lungs. Also retired at 59 and couldn't afford the $600,000 judgment. What is he retiring with? There's no money? What? But the spectacle of the incident, one former doctor attacking another in broad daylight, was altogether different. Competing explanations of the origins of the drama cited stray yard clippings, newly planted saplings, and unraked leaves. We don't have squabbles out here, said Jackie Douglas, a neighbor of the two men. If you can afford to live out here, you tend to your own business. The two men were anything but strangers. Mr. Paul and Mr. Butcher have lived next to each other for 17 years and at one point even worked at the same hospital. What the fuck? Mr. Butcher practiced for many years as an anesthesiologist and invented a rice-filled vest used for back pain. He now lives alone, neighbors said. Damn. Mr. Butcher gets a patient referred from Rand Paul. No anesthesia for this motherfucker. Let him suffer. Let him scream. Wait. And what did the other guy what's this guy's name? Mullen. Mark Wayne Mullen. What did he say about Paul getting attacked? Holy shit. This is what Mullen said. I respect Bernie Sanders because he's an open socialist and you know that he's communist. So you know what you're getting. Rand Paul's a freaking snake. And I understand completely why his neighbor did what he did. And I told him that to his face. It stirred people up like Cheryl who don't know the backstory. And then that night, Rand sends out a fundraising letter on it. It's a gimmick. Damn, that's crazy to say, unless he's got way more information. I think this could be kind of funny if the guy, like, maybe even just, like, sucker punched Rand Paul. But if he's, like, breaking five ribs, has to have surgery for lung part removal and everything, that's a pretty brutally crazy comment to make. Jesus. What did he say in court? This Mr. Boucher, why did he say he tackled him? What was the... He said that the senator told him he and Mr. Boucher had not talked in years. Mr. Porter said he was not familiar with any landscaping disputes between the two neighbors. Well, I don't know, bro. Oh, my God. Okay. He let the evil thoughts win.
Completely understand the violence that was perpetrated on him.
What the fuck? Boucher versus Paul. Paul and Boucher were neighbors. According to Paul, their relationship was unremarkable. They had not directly spoken in years, though they might wave to one another if they crossed paths on the street. From Boucher's perspective, however, problems between them began in the summer of 2017 when he decided to trim the branches of five maple trees in Paul's backyard that had grown over the Boucher-Paul property line. Sometime shortly thereafter, Paul dropped a bundle of limbs and brush at the edge of his property, apparently in the sight line of Boucher's home. A few weeks passed and the bundle remained. Frustrated by the sight of yard debris, Boucher crossed onto Paul's property, removed the limbs and brush, and hauled them off in dumpsters. The following month, Boucher noticed another bundle of limbs and brush in roughly the same location. He hauled it off again. A few days later, on November 2nd, 2017, a bundle reappeared. This time, Boucher did not haul it away. He poured gasoline over the debris and lit a match. The ensuing fireball caught him by surprise. The debris was burned, but so was Boucher. He suffered second-degree burns on his arms, neck, and face. What the fuck? When Paul got on his lawnmower the next day, November 3rd, 2017, Boucher was watching him from the top of a hill overlooking Paul's property. According to Boucher, he saw Paul blow all the leaves from his property onto Boucher's yard. Ooh, he doesn't have the bag attached. Oh, no. Paul then got off his lawnmower, picked up a few more limbs, and turned toward the site of the burned debris pile. While Paul had his back to the hill, Boucher ran 60 yards downhill and hurled himself headfirst into Paul's lower back. The impact broke six of Paul's ribs, including three that split completely in half. After a brief fracas, Paul left the scene and called the police. The Kentucky State Police were the first to respond. In an interview with officers, Boucher admitted to tackling Paul, but denied doing so because of Paul's politics. Instead, he described the assault as the culmination of a property dispute that finally boiled over. The Warren County attorney initially charged Boucher with fourth-degree misdemeanor assault under Kentucky law. He was taken into custody for a few days, after which the FBI intervened and the state charges were dropped. The government then indicted Boucher on one count of assaulting a member of Congress in violation of 18 U.S.C., Section 351, Subsection E. Boucher pleaded guilty. Ah, now I understand why he sold his house. It wasn't for a $600,000 thing. Frucus? Based upon the above, Paul thereafter sued Boucher in Warren Circuit Court for assault and battery. The ensuing litigation led to a three-day jury trial and ultimately a verdict awarding Rand Paul $7.8 million for his medical expenses, $200,000 for his pain and suffering, and $375,000 in punitive damages. How do you feel about... I don't know how I feel about the fact that you can be, like, criminally held liable for something, but you can also be, like, sued for it at the same time. I don't know how I feel about that sometimes. I'm not sure. But anyway, damn. You set it on fire. Sheesh.
Unrepentant. The only thing you quibble about is whether I met you somehow when you were in the house. I don't think we ever met when you were in the house. And this idea that the only thing you're upset about is not that you were for violence. What you're upset about is that I called you a liar because you said it to my face, which really more about this machismo that you have. When in Oklahoma the media asked you about the refugee welfare programs, the programs you voted to continue funding, it was this whole idea that you were going to transfer it because you were uncomfortable, your anger, low impulse control, you know, causes you to then go after and decide that you're going to go after me as well. And so you say you completely...
How would you get hospital stuff covered as a victim? I don't know if that should be part of like paying restitution or something, maybe. I don't know.
completely understood that I was assaulted from behind, had 6 ribs broken and part of my lung removed, and that was just fine. That's something that you, I guess, approve of as far as resolution of political problems. When I talked to you privately on the phone, there was no apology. You just said, well, we can let our political difference, you know, go by, and you said a few minutes ago, we can just set it aside. Well, political differences we can, but when you say that you agree with a felon, a Trump-hating felon who attacked me, somehow you think I'm just going to set that aside? Oh, it's no big deal. You know, I lay in pain for 2 months, had 6 ribs broken, 3 of them separated, grinding upon bone on bone for months, had part of my lung removed, and you think that's great and to be extolled. I mean, the sheer lack of any kind of self-awareness that you're going to be leading thousands of men and women who will have the use of force, and there's been great questions in our country about how that will be used, and you think a violent attack is just fine. So I guess my first question is, do you think that justifying that kind of violence sets a good example for the men and women of ICE and Border Patrol?
Mr. Chairman, first of all, I didn't know the extent of your damage. When the phone call was made, I made it to you, and I tried to talk to you. You didn't engage at all. In fact, you said, get your paperwork in. It's got to be 3 days in between.
You offered no apology.
Sir?
And you offer no apology today, and no regrets. Haven't heard the word apologize, haven't heard the word regret, haven't heard I misspoke, and it was heated, and I made a mistake. Haven't heard any of those words.
Sir, actually, it wasn't heated, and I'm not apologizing for pointing out your character.
Good. So you're jolly well fine, and you want the American public and the people up here to vote that may or may not vote for you to know that you supported the felonious, violent attack on me from behind.
I did not say I supported it. I said I understood it. There's a difference.
That means you really didn't approve of it. Just completely understand it. What do you think most people would interpret completely understand to be support for or a condemnation of the violence?
Sir, as I said, we can have our differences. It's not going to keep me from doing my job as Secretary of Homeland Security. I'm going to secure Kentucky and take care of Kentucky as much as I am.
If this were a one-off, it would be one thing. If you just disliked me so much that you approved of violence against me, people could just write it off. Well, maybe they hate each other. But really, there's a pattern of this. Let's go ahead and roll the tape.
Uh-oh.
There's a thing in...
Well, go back to the 1800s and 1700s. They used to have canes.
And tools.
Yeah. Right. And there's a way that maybe needs to settle the differences. I ignored him 4 times part of that. And people say, yes, you're supposed to ignore it. Well, you know, I'm not a very good Christian. I try to be a good Christian. And I know people say you're supposed to turn the other cheek. I prefer the David method.
Well, we need to move from an almost...
By the way, I'm not afraid of Biden. I will Biden.
Biden?
Oh, I'm Biden. Yeah. And if I would Biden, I'll do anything. And I don't care where I got it. It's just
Biden. In my side. Any requests?
No, I really don't.
So no regrets. In fact, even after your anger had cooled, you were still bragging that if he'd only been brave enough to stand up, you'd have jumped over the dais and taught him a lesson, because that's how men should settle their differences. Do you think fighting as a resolution for political differences is a good example for the men and women of ICE and Border Patrol?
As you can notice over my shoulder here is my good friend Sean O'Brien. Both of us have had conversations, both of us have shaken hands, and both of us agreed we could have done things different. Sean is someone that has become a close friend. We talk all the time. I've been on his podcast. We talked through this. That's how you handle your differences.
Aw, the podcasters. Yes, he's a podcast bro. Oh, my God.
Not like this, Chairman.
I'm glad you guys are friends now and that you've reconciled. But really, it doesn't get to the real point whether or not you think violence is the way we settle things. In the days after the fight, you said, and I quote, sometimes people just need to be punched in the face. Is that still your opinion, that political disputes can sometimes and often only be resolved by violence?
No. I don't always agree with that. I don't believe in political violence. I've made that very clear. But sometimes people do need, theoretically speaking, sir, I get it. It's about character assassination for you. That's the way this game is played. I understand it. And you are making this about you, which is fine, but that doesn't keep me as sincere.
It's character assassination when you were the one lauding the assault. Who do you think started that character assassination? I'm just repeating what you have done in character assassination. I'm repeating your support for the assault. So that's somehow something I started?
No, sir. What I'm saying is you're adding a lot to it.
In the days after the fight, you did many interviews in which you justified the violence as historically justified by precedents, such as caning and dueling. Is it today your opinion that the caning of Charles Sumner was not only justified but argues still for resolving our political differences with violence?
What I was simply pointing out is some of the rules that still apply to this body. For instance, dueling with 2 consenting adults is still there. I was pointing out what
it's
is
illegal still illegal for 170 years. There's no precedent for legal dueling. Even then, they fled the country. Do you realize that the man that beat Charles Sumner with a cane, he beat him until he was unconscious? You know why no senators intervened? Because his friend held a gun on the other senators, and he kept beating him and beating him until he crushed his skull. That's what you're insinuating is the precedent of the Senate, and that's what you live by. That is a very, very dangerous sentiment.
And?
After 6 victory lap interviews where you pointed out that the union guy was just...
Yeah, no response to that. Jesus. Woo, sheesh.
And that's what you live by. That is a very, very dangerous sentiment.
And?
After a half a dozen victory lap interviews where you pointed out that the union guy was just lucky that fear kept him from standing up, Dana Bash asked you if you have any regrets about bringing violence to a Senate committee, and you replied that you have no regrets. Today you said you have no regrets about being happy, being completely understanding why I was attacked from behind. You had no regrets.
You still like Rand Paul? What? I've never liked Rand Paul. What? Fuck that guy.
It's about, you know, instigating a brawl in a Senate committee hearing. Are those still your opinions?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mr. Chairman, you're going to have your opinion. I'm going to have mine. As the Secretary of Homeland Security, I'm going to bring peace of mind and security to this country, and I'm going to stay laser focused on that.
Oh,
Senator Peters.
Cool.